Imagine falling in love with someone who once held a gun to your head. Picture craving the very person who has broken you repeatedly, yet somehow makes you feel whole. This is the twisted reality at the heart of The Sinner, a dark romance that has captivated millions and become a TikTok sensation with over 100 million views. What makes this story so compelling isn't just its explicit content, but how it forces us to confront uncomfortable truths about desire, power, and the human capacity to find beauty in darkness. In a world where romance readers increasingly embrace stories that venture into psychological extremes rather than fairy tale fantasies, this particular tale stands out for its unflinching exploration of toxic desire and the blurred lines between love and obsession. At the center of this dark world is the Lords, an elite brotherhood operating as judge, jury, and executioner within their sphere of influence. These powerful men follow strict rules crafted over generations to ensure their dominance. During their first 3 years at Barrington University, they remain celibate to build discipline. In their final year, each lord receives a chosen one, a carefully selected woman who becomes their exclusive property. After graduation, they marry a lady who serves them unconditionally while maintaining their facade of respectability. Easton Bradley Sinnott, nicknamed Sin, embodies this mentality perfectly. During his initiation, he executes his first kill with mechanical precision, watching impassively as blood sprays across marble floors. He accepts the ceremonial knife as a trophy, marking his transformation with chilling ease. What makes the Lords truly terrifying isn't just their capacity for violence, but their deeply institutionalized power. Their influence extends into law enforcement, judiciary systems, and corporate boardrooms, creating a framework where toxic relationships flourish without interference. The relationship between Ellington Jade Asher and Sin forms the novel's twisted core. Their first significant encounter occurs when Sin, masked and unrecognizable, breaks into Ellington's home, murders her abusive stepfather, and sexually assaults her with his gun while declaring, "You are my heaven and I am your hell." What makes this relationship so disturbing is Ellington's response. Despite the trauma, she craves the darkness Sin represents, later reflecting, "I want toxicity. Insanity, someone who makes me question my sanity." Ellington's character was shaped by early trauma. Her mother's career as a sexologist exposed her to adult concepts from childhood, while her stepfather groomed her from age 13. These experiences warped her understanding of love, creating a woman who equates pain with affection. The novel shows how trauma distorts desire through Ellington's diaries, which chronicle her descent into increasingly dark fantasies. Sin discovers these diaries and weaponizes them with calculated precision, using them as a blueprint for control rather than recognizing them as a cry for help. This creates a devastating cycle of trauma and control. During one harrowing scene, Sin chains Ellington's neck, throws her overboard from his yacht, and pulls her back only when she's nearly lost consciousness. Most unsettling is Ellington's response. She thinks she would risk her life for this feeling. People have died for less. As the story unfolds, we discover that virtually everyone in Ellington's life has deceived her. Her mother not only knew about her husband's abuse, but accused Ellington of seducing him. Lincoln, her mother's new husband and a high-ranking lord, had previously abused Ellington as part of a calculated plan. Most devastating is the revelation about her father, Nicholas. The suicide she mourned at 12 was an elaborate fiction, as he's actually alive, his death orchestrated as part of Lord's business. Sin's manipulation operates on multiple levels, from hidden marriage documents to replacing her birth control pills and installing surveillance cameras throughout her home. Yet paradoxically, his transparency about his darkness becomes his redemptive quality. "I'll be whoever you need me to be," he tells Ellington, "the boy who holds you when you fall apart, or the one who chases you through the woods." Unlike others who mask their cruelty behind respectability, Sin's honest acknowledgement of his capacity for violence feels refreshingly authentic to Ellington, the devil she knows versus the devils who wore masks of propriety. The novel's climax revolves around Sin sacrificing himself to free Ellington's father from Carnage, a facility run by the Spade brothers. Knowing torture awaits, Sin arranges to become a prisoner in her father's place. When Ellington discovers this through a letter, she quickly organizes a rescue with her father and Tyson, a loyal to Sin. This sacrifice represents Sin's transformation from ruthless self-interest to selflessness. Yet his complexity persists. He admits in his farewell letter that he couldn't sign their divorce papers, wanting to maintain his claim on her. Though the rescue succeeds, it reveals the continuing cycle of violence. 18 years later, Sin and Ellington have established suburban stability with two teenagers, successful careers, and a historic home. Their relationship has matured while preserving its essence, with Sin's nickname for Ellington now reserved for private moments. They've created a space for intimacy while maintaining boundaries that protect their family life. As parents, they've adapted remarkably, providing protection and support for their children. Sin teaches self-defense, while Ellington emphasizes emotional well-being through counseling. Their stability comes not from meeting external expectations, but from creating a framework honoring their authentic selves while fostering growth. What makes The Sinner particularly unsettling is its refusal to moralize. The novel doesn't condemn Sin and Ellington's relationship, nor does it fully celebrate it. Instead, it presents their connection as inevitable, given their respective traumas. Is Ellington making free choices, or is she so damaged that genuine consent is impossible? When she tells Sin, "I hate you," and he responds, "No, you don't," is he gaslighting her or recognizing a truth she can't admit? The story explores how trauma shapes desire in ways that defy conventional morality. Sin's possessiveness becomes a form of stability for Ellington, while her self-destructive tendencies find purpose in his darkness. Their relationship operates by its own internal logic, challenging our preconceptions about love and healing. They find in each other not healing, but recognition, the acknowledgement that they are damaged in compatible ways. As Ellington reflects, "Sin might be the devil, but I am the sinner," a statement that encapsulates both her complicity in their dynamic and her acceptance of it. In the end, some relationships exist beyond conventional moral frameworks, neither wholly healthy nor entirely toxic, but necessary for survival. Through Sin and Ellington's story, we're challenged to question our assumptions about love, healing, and consent in a world where trauma leaves indelible marks on our desires and choices. Perhaps the most uncomfortable truth is not that such relationships exist, but that we can recognize pieces of ourselves within them.